just got dyslexia, okay?
Dishonor on you! Dishonor on your cow!
Welcome, foolish mortals.
It is with deepest pride and greatest pleasure that we welcome you tonight.
The reference here is very obscure.
Welcome to the obscure world of Disney. You're listening to the Obscure Disney Podcast.
It's our belief that no detail is too small, no character cameo too short, and no quirk too strange to be celebrated.
And with new episodes every Tuesday and Thursday, why not get an annual pass wherever you get your podcast from, or find us at obscuredisneypodcast.com.
And see all of our fun patches at disneypatch.com. Steve, back in the 80s, there were a few movie franchises that kind of defined our generation.
Ours? I wasn't born yet.
What? Oh, I forgot you were born in 96.
Sure.
Well, then my generation.
Yes.
And I remember being a kid and some other kid asking me, did you see Indiana Jones and the Temple of Doom? It's rated R, you know. And I said, I don't know what you're talking about, because I most certainly wasn't watching Temple of Doom as a child. And I don't think I watched Temple of Doom until I was probably a teenager.
Oh, really?
I watched the first indie, Raiders of the Lost Ark. There's the name. Wow, I totally lost that name for a second. Old age. This is what you get for being born in the 80s. So I watched Raiders of the Lost Ark and The Last Crusade as a kid, but I didn't ever watch Temple of Doom, and I think it's because my mom knew that things would scare me too much in it.
Right.
And rightfully so. There are other movies that I watched at that age that terrified me that were for children. I can't imagine watching Temple of Doom at that age.
Oh, I can. Yes.
So you had a traumatic experience with,
yeah, you know, that's absolutely right. I was, I think, 5 years old, maybe six.
You were five when you watched that?
5 or 6 years old, and my mom took me to the Sandcastle movie theater. It was great because it was one of the theaters that had two screens in it. You know, most had one.
Oh,
but this one had two.
Fancy.
And they had Temples of the, they must have been playing the Temple of Doom in there.
Uh-huh.
And legitimately, it scared me so bad as a five-year-old that I thought it was a nightmare. And for decades, I thought it was, not decades, forever and ever and ever, I thought it was like literally a nightmare that I was having.
Uh-huh.
And that it would, probably because it gave me nightmares, and probably it would recover, and then it would come back in my dreams over and over and over again.
Right.
And then I would think, I, when we met, I started describing to you this nightmare of a movie, and I think that's when you told me, oh yeah, that's Temple of Doom.
Yeah.
Because they're lowering her down from the top of the cave, right?
Yeah.
This is literally off my fifth grade, or my, 5-year-old memory.
Okay.
Into the, like, the pit of fire, and there's all these people chanting around her.
Uh-huh.
It sounds like hell. Legitimately, it sounds like hell.
Well, and I think 5-year-olds, definitely too young. Definitely too young
I would
for
agree.
That. I'm a big fan of the Indiana Jones series, and I've watched a lot of behind-the-scenes stuff for Indiana Jones in general.
Yeah.
It's what I love to watch, actually.
More than the movie?
More than the movies, even.
I think
even.
That's true.
And Temple of Doom was a really interesting kind of concept. They say that a lot of the reason that it went so dark is because both George Lucas and Steven Spielberg were going through divorces at the time.
Oh.
And so they were a little bit angsty, I guess.
And they let it all play out on screen.
And they definitely wanted it to be dark, and they wanted it to be scarier. And I would say mission accomplished, for sure.
Mm-hmm.
Because it was definitely a dark, scary version of Indy, dealing with cults and...
What other parts of it were scary other than that scene?
They had a whole dinner scene that people didn't like, where they were eating monkeys' brains out of their skulls. They were eating live eels that came out of snakes. There was a whole scene where she was trying to get into a room, and she was covered by bugs that were crawling into her hair.
Oh,
and
my
stuff.
Gosh.
Fun fact about that. They were real bugs. They didn't have the way to fake that back in the 80s.
Yeah.
So they literally had thousands and thousands of insects that they were dumping on the actress during that scene.
There is no way.
And she was petrified, obviously, uh-huh. as most people would be. Uh-huh. I'm not a fan of bugs, but I'm not like, oh my gosh, I'm going to die if yeah. I see a bug. But she was terrified of this many bugs being dumped on her. So they literally gave her like a relaxant so that she could even just function.
Oh, that's a good
with
idea.
All the bugs.
Here, take a tranquilizer while we dump 2 million bugs on you.
Right.
You would have to pay me $1 per bug.
Oh
for
my,
that scene.
There you go. You'd be a wealthy, wealthy man.
This is the only way I would do that scene. That's it.
But the whole thing about the cult is just terrifying. They literally pull a man's beating heart out of his chest.
Holy moly.
So I'm really shocked that your mom took you to see that one.
She
at
probably
five.
Didn't know.
I'm sure she
did. We didn't
didn't.
Have, like, the reviews back then, you would read them from a newspaper.
Yeah.
She didn't even do that. We just showed up at that double screen theater.
Yeah. What's really interesting about it is one. The kid that talked to me when I was a kid that said it was rated R wasn't 100% true.
No.
It actually got a PG rating when it came out.
Well, ain't that something?
And parents were furious.
Yeah.
They said, this is too dark. This is too scary for just a PG movie. It needs to be rated R. And Steven Spielberg at the time said, you know what? I don't think it's heavy enough for an R, but I don't know that it's safe enough for PG. Maybe we should do something in between.
Mm.
And so Temple of Doom was actually the first movie to be rated PG-13.
Oh, wow.
They instituted that rating specifically for
I could see
Temple
that.
Of Doom.
Because you're supposed to be able to see him at 18 years old if you're for an R-rated movie.
For an R-rated movie, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Well, it seems like it should be a PG-18 for me, but no, I'm kidding.
So what's interesting to me is that people saw this film and thought, well, what a good thing to put in a Disney park.
Oh, right?
Because that makes sense.
They don't do those kinds of things in the parks, though, right?
Not that I've seen.
Because the rest of the series, when did they start putting them in the parks?
So, officially, they joined with George Lucas in 1986 when he did Captain EO for them.
Okay.
And Captain EO, of course, is the Michael Jackson 3D film where he goes in to save the world with music.
I'd forgotten George Lucas did that.
He did, and it was an extremely expensive film to put together.
Go figure.
But
it's
then,
good, though.
Yeah, and then in 1989, the Indiana Jones Epic Stunt Spectacular opened in Florida.
Oh, wow.
Which kind of more or less goes off of the first film. Right?
It does, yeah.
It's all they the iconic do scenes of that. Yeah, basically from the first from the first movie.
Which is so much more fun.
It is. It's a fun movie, and it's a fun show. We try to make it a point to see it every time we go to Florida.
The Stunt Spectacular?
Yeah.
Right.
It's a good break, too, by the way. If you need a minute to sit down in the shade...
Yeah.
Granted, you have to sit close to strangers, but that's everywhere in a theme park. But it's a nice place to sit down in some shade and take a minute. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and typically they have fans going overhead if needed.
Right. Until the show starts, they have fans going and whatnot.
Yeah.
And you're always undercover, too, so if it's raining or something like that. I don't know. Do you think they do that show in the rain?
I was just thinking the same thing. I would guess not. It could be very dangerous to do that show.
Yeah, you
in
don't
rain.
Want to slip around in that show.
Yeah.
It's very theme park stunt show. They do some falls and they do some explosions and... they have huge props, which are always fun.
In my mind, it's crazy to think that that's theme park stunt show because it's so much bigger than that. Because I think when I think of theme park stunt show, I think, you know, like three doors opening and closing in random or at random,
oh, okay.
You know, they're almost like...
Well, you're thinking of musical numbers.
Right. They could turn that into a musical number too, right?
But Indie the Musical, I don't know.
Listen, give Disney a shot and they'll do it. They'll totally do it.
Could you imagine the song about snakes? Why'd it have to be snakes?
Right.
There you go.
Why'd it to be snakes? But it's a huge spectacle of a show, actually.
It's a good time, honestly. It's been running for a really long time. And with the rumors that they're coming out with another Indiana Jones movie,
yeah.
Hopefully better than the last one, they're talking about maybe doing some updates to it and changing some things around. Which I would be in favor of.
You'd be okay with that.
Yeah.
Are you, do you worry about that ride being, or that attraction being taken out of the park anytime soon?
No, it's kind of too big for the time being.
Yeah.
It really does fit the theme of Hollywood Studios at this point.
It's about the only thing that does, really.
Well, sure. But with kind of the IPs that they're going for, mm-hmm. with Star Wars and...
it's true.
...such, it really makes sense to have an Indiana Jones-themed show there. It just makes sense to me.
It does make a lot of sense.
Yeah.
I didn't realize, you know, thinking out about it this last time that we went, I realized that that crowd seats probably like 1,000 people, you know? And if you compare that, and they do show once an hour, basically speaking, so they're able to, so that really, you know, I think if they do 6 shows a day or something, mm-hmm. that only has a daily capacity of about 6,000 people per day for that whole show. And you think about the expense of all of the actors and all of the people that are in the show and all the production that goes behind it. And then, of course, all of the stunts that are going off constantly.
Right.
It's a fairly expensive show to keep, that I would imagine,
sure.
to continually run. And you compare that to something like, you know, the Pirates of the Caribbean has a capacity of 3,000 people an hour. So you compare the two together and you're like, oh, it kind of actually does have a low capacity. So I hope that it makes it.
That's kind of the danger of shows in general, though. Like, they can't hold as many people as a ride potentially can. Really, I think what it is a way to group people together and keep them in one place so that they're not somewhere else for a good period of time. If you look at, like, Mickey's PhilharMagic show, it's rarely chock full, but it can seat a few hundred people in there. And it's not an excessively long show, but it's enough to keep people occupied for a time being so that they're not in line somewhere else.
Yeah. We'll have to get into it far, far more in another podcast because I would love that. I love this subject so much. I could talk about it for
every time
hours.
We're sitting in a theater, you're counting people. but then another thing happened that scared me as a kid. In 1995... the Indiana Jones Adventure, or Indy and the Temple of the Forbidden Eye, opened in California.
Oh, I do remember that.
And it terrified me the first time I rode it.
Oh, really?
Which is, you know, now I'm so brave. But as a kid, I was scared of everything. I had an overactive imagination that wouldn't allow me to think logically that this isn't real. For whatever reason, even though you logically know it's not real.
Now, in 1995, have you seen Temple of Doom yet or no?
I'm going to say no.
Still not yet.
I don't think so.
Okay.
And so, I honestly think I had to buy Temple of Doom myself and watch it myself. I don't think my family ever watched it together.
I could.
So, it would have been like 14, 15 that I saw Temple of Doom. But for those of you that have been to the Temple of the Forbidden Eye ride at Disneyland, you know how immersive it is.
Right.
From the second you get into line, you are completely submerged in this world, and there's imagery and sound and just a general feeling of unease in most of that line.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
That, for whatever reason, just terrified me as a kid. And I was stressed the whole time.
Well, in my mind, because the queue for that ride specifically, right? It's a really long ride, a long line. They had to do it because they had to get you almost off of property,
right?
Because it's so far back there, and that's why they made the queue so interactive and so good, right? Is because it was so because they needed to get
it was
you,
long,
yeah, because they had to get you back there. And so, in my mind, wasn't that the first one that was really themed heavily?
It's the first ride line that I can remember going, oh my gosh, I don't mind standing in this line because there's always something to look at.
Yeah.
And I think I don't know that Disney was the first company to do it, but it's the first time that I encountered it.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, this is what they should be doing, because there's nothing worse than being in those little rat mazes where you're just switchbacking back and forth for an hour.
Yeah.
It's the worst.
Yeah.
Especially for children. I mean, and it's especially bad for me around your children because I don't like your children running into me.
But if you compare that to today's queues that we now see that are basically walkthrough attractions prior to, I think we really get that because of Indie.
Because of the original Indie ride. Yeah. And I mean, you look at something like Tower of Terror that has such good feeling too. It has that same kind of feeling of unease that Indie has.
Right.
And I was terrified as a kid. And the thing that scared me the most is they kept on saying, you can't look into the eyes of the idol. And I didn't know what they were talking about. I was like, is there going to be a sign saying, don't look? So I think I closed my eyes for most of the ride because I was afraid I was going to look in the wrong place.
And set off the idol.
Yeah. Like, oh, it was crazy. Funny.
Yeah.
That's and then hilarious. In 2001, they opened kind of a sister ride to that ride in Tokyo. Oh. So they have one called Temple of the Crystal Skull in Tokyo.
That's fun.
Yeah.
Does it use the same ride system and stuff?
Yeah, I think it's the same layout, and I think they say a lot of the things are similar.
Oh, I like that.
But there are a couple differences in their version, which I think would be great, by the way, to bring to Animal Kingdom here in Florida. Mm-hmm. I think they definitely need to do it.
Animal Kingdom, because you want them to take out dinosaur and
give it. I really want them to take out the dinosaur stuff. Not because I dislike dinosaurs, but because I think it could be themed better. And I like Indiana Jones better than I like dinosaur.
Oh, of course.
So
I think everybody does, right?
I don't know. I think a lot of kids really like dinosaurs. And so true. They kind of play off of that. But that ride's really scary for kids. So I don't
know. But the rest of the dinosaur land is kid friendly, and they need that there for that park.
True. True.
Which is always a difficulty.
Oh, but surely we can find something for the kids to do with Indiana Jones, though.
Right? You could retheme a lot of those into an Indiana Jones ride, right. I think.
But I'm surprised you didn't like Temple of Doom a little bit more. Do you remember the beginning of Temple of Doom at all?
Is that the one with the neon lights?
It's the one with the musical number.
Hmm, maybe.
So, I was so thrown off by the beginning of Temple of Doom because of the musical number.
Huh.
And if you don't remember, it is the lead actress, whose name escapes me right now, again, born in the 80s, apparently I can't remember things, and she sings the song Anything Goes in Mandarin at the beginning of the movie.
I do love the beginning.
And I was so confused when I watched it. I was like, what is this?
Right.
And like, I didn't know the song Anything Goes either, so I was just so confused. And then all of a sudden it changes into a full-on gun battle in the restaurant. You're like, oh, okay, well, this is more indie, you know.
Oh, it's so good. I do love the beginning.
It's such a good, for everything how dark it is,
right?
It has some really great stuff in it.
Yeah,
like the minecart chase at the end is just so fun, but you have to go through all the scary stuff to get there.
That's some scary stuff.
So if they put an Indiana Jones ride in Florida, do you think that they could get away with making it scarier than the other ones, or do you think that they just kind of need to do a repeat of what they've already done?
I don't ever want them to do a repeat anymore. There's almost no reason, especially because you can change things so much with theming.
Yeah.
I like the idea of them reusing track systems,
yeah,
and the technology behind the operations of the ride to save money, but I don't like them reusing the same concept over again. Like, right. It just is boring to me, and it's always kind of like just a sequel of, and you're just like, it's not quite the same. So definitely I want them to go with a new concept completely.
Would you be offended if it went darker though? Like,
I don't know. I don't want to see monkey eating brain thing. I don't want to see that. I also don't want to see all the other things.
You don't want to see bugs
falling on me. Spiders falling on you would be kind of a fun effect, don't you think? Maybe.
I'm not sure how they
would be lowered into a cauldron with a seance going around me or whatever. No. Mm-mm.
You don't want someone pulling your still beating heart out? That wouldn't be fun. I would love to see the Imagineers try to tackle that one.
Good luck experiencing that one, folks. I'd be okay if they went somewhat darker, but I don't want them to go as dark as that movie was. Because we rewatched that movie at some point in time.
You most certainly did not. You refused to rewatch it.
Well, I remember that Anything Goes thing with you.
Because I made you watch the behind-the-scenes stuff with me.
But the rest of the movie, I'm not going to go with. Absolutely not.
I think if they do an Indiana Jones ride in Florida, They can, like you said, keep the same track layout, but maybe make it a different temple in a different place.
Right.
The great thing about Animal Kingdom, where it would go, is that it is so heavily influenced by different areas.
Yeah.
And I believe the dinosaur area is near, I want to say, Asia. So maybe if you did like an Asian kind of temple, it would be really cool.
Then you could sing Anything Goes in Mandarin right in the beginning.
Oh my gosh, I would love it. On the way in, there's a radio and you can just hear...
Oh, it would be great.
Oh.
Yeah.
I am all on board for this.
And I do have to say, though, that Indiana Jones did inspire your very first patch ever, right?
It very much did. It's because it's my favorite ride. And yeah. So I was like, I need to make my first patch something that I'm super passionate about.
Yeah.
And it was a lot of trial and error trying to get it to work. I didn't know what I was doing. I was learning to draw digitally for it specifically. So I am really proud of my Mara optometry patch because it's such a fun joke, guys. I'm surprised it's not even more popular of a patch than it is.
All based off the original ride.
Oh, I'm so funny.
It's pretty good.
I wish y'all would know how funny I was.
Yeah. I agree. I agree that it's a very funny patch.
So maybe this Halloween, if you're feeling spooky...
You can dress up as a Mara optometrist.
That too. I was going to say, you could sit down and watch Temple of Doom. Maybe we'll do that here and see
what... Heck no! Uh-uh.
One of these days, Steve's just going to come in and be like, what are we watching? And it'll be like...
That scene will be queued up.
That scene...
Mm-mm. I would need therapy immediately.
You're running out of the room. But it's like I always say, when you're with Indy, anything goes.
Follow my perfectly sculpted two-finger point to the exit.
If you enjoyed today's podcast, rate, review us on your favorite podcast app. And if you didn't, help us do better by buying a patch at DisneyPatch.com.
Always be proud of what makes you unique. And we'll see you next time on the Obscure Disney Podcast.